Last week's show featured a story by Maria Bakalopoulou about the songs fans sing during soccer games between Celtic and Rangers in Scotland and the attempt to ban some of those songs. Kyle Darcy, who was raised in Belfast, Northern Ireland, appreciated the reminder of the soundtrack that accompanies those games. The story was right on target, and it brought back memories of my youth. He wrote, "Well done." In connection with that story based in Scotland, Jeffrey McComb emailed to say I should have said Glasgow, not Glasgow, and he also wrote that Scots say Glasgow. George Espy, who lives in Montville, Pennsylvania, found himself thinking about the $9 billion over which the NFL and the league's players have been arguing. It would be wonderful if they would not be so greedy and would donate all the money to the states and municipalities, considering the condition they are in. Mr. Espy wrote, "I don't live in a city that would benefit from such a gift, but I'm sure it would be accepted by those who have supported the teams and players." Jeffrey Goldwasser, a rabbi in Williamstown, Massachusetts, emailed as follows, "You and Charlie Pierce had some fun with one of the St. John's basketball recruits, the 6'9" forward from Nigeria with the unlikely name God's Gift Achuia. While I agree that this young man has an interesting name, you might want to consider that the common English names, Jonathan and Nathaniel, are both based on Hebrew names that mean, wait for it, God's gift. Maybe it isn't as unusual as you thought." Last week, we irked Carrie Seidman, who hears the program on WCPN in Cleveland. "You and Charlie Pierce referred to somebody named Jim Bottomley," Mr. Seidman wrote. "It figured that you two guys didn't have a clue to who he was. He didn't play in Boston. The Red Sox and Celtics do not define American sport, except in the mind of Mr. Pierce." Charles Hewitt, who hears the show on KWMU in St. Louis, wrote to say that he loves only a game, and he asked, "Do you have any eponymous baseball hats for sale? If there's more noise on behalf of those hats, I'll see what I can do." That would be with eponymous on the front, right? Finally, my notated copy of Lee Montville's book about Evel Knievel that we offered to somebody joining us on Facebook went to Laura Romains, who listens to the podcast in her home in the Netherlands. Congratulations, Laura. I don't know whether to hope you can read my handwriting or that you can't. You can follow us on Facebook and find us on Twitter at Only A Game Radio, and you can reach us through the website onlyagame.org. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced, Harvard University, whose summer school has courses for high school, college, and adults to earn academic credit and experience campus life, summer.harvard.edu, and Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm. With 3,000 professionals worldwide, Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies, oliverwyman.com. This is NPR.
The Goiânia State Championship semifinal soccer match between Brazilian teams Villanova and Goiás was interrupted for 20 minutes when a beehive was discovered on one of the crossbars at the stadium. Hundreds of bees swarmed at the top corner of the goal being defended by Pedro Henrique of Goiás, but the bees would not acknowledge that they had gathered to protect that corner of the goal from shots by Villanova. Apparently, to torture the bees into acknowledging their allegiance, the local fire brigade brought in a flaming torch. The bees fled, but admitted no wrongdoing. The game ended in a 2-2 draw and a brawl, which involved players from both teams and fans, but no bees.